Chapter 15.
Everyone, form a tight circle,
Vanessa cried out.
Keep yourselves at arm's length, and for hell's sake, be quick about it. What the hell are they?
Marina yelled, and she jumped out of the way as another hand burst out of the ground right where her feet had been.
Fucking dark gnomes, I reckon,
Faye growled as her golden green eyes flashed.
Only dark gnomes can pull themselves from the earth like this. These fuckers take the form of whatever they've last killed and devoured, and when they're done, they hibernate in the depths of the soil. Satan, I wish I were high enough to deal with this.
Nyx grunted as she kept her wand aimed high and steady.
You can smoke as much as you want, later, hornhead.
Akira snorted, but her voice was slightly trembling as she spoke.
If we get out of this one, I'll even join you.
We will get out of this, I reminded the group. I swear on my life, but we need to keep our heads clear and our eyes peeled. That's an order.
Yes, master.
My coven answered at the same time.
You're right, Cole.
Marina added, and Beatrix nodded in agreement.
Ah, look at these little darlings,
purred an angel-faced man with shimmering green eyes and a pearl-white smile, and once he'd pulled himself from the depths of the earth, he dusted himself off before he continued.
Whew! So very lost, and so very afraid.
Don't they look so cute, though?
A woman with flowing silver hair and magnetic ocean blue eyes giggled.
We're not afraid of you dainty-looking motherfuckers,
Akira growled through her teeth.
If anything, you should fear us. Oh, how bold.
A tall woman with shoulder-length pale pink hair gasped with faux surprise. And as she took a few steps closer toward us, I noticed more and more gnomes were digging themselves out of the earth.
I think we should punish them for their insolence. Don't you agree?
As a matter of fact, I think we should.
A man with a bare, muscular chest and wheat blonde hair snickered.
Look at my hands, for heaven's sake. They're already turning back. We certainly need fresh blood.
As the gnome disguised as a beautiful elder raised his hand into the air and turned it back and forth, I realized his skin was morphing into a scabby, red-fleshed texture, all the way from his wrist up to his fingertips.
Faye,
I whispered as our backs were pressed against each other. Do you have any tips when it comes to killing gnomes?
Oh, they hate fire. I think it's their only weakness.
Then I say we illuminana their asses, I ordered as the gnomes drew closer. Once our wands are lit, I'll use Motus to spread the flames. Got it?
I like that idea.
Vanessa hissed as quietly as possible.
Let's do it.
On three. I agreed as the gnomes slowly homed in on us, and the only thing I could see in their eyes was hunger and not a trace of fear. At least not yet. One, two, three! I yelled before the others shouted Illuminana at the same time. Each woman's wand glowed with searing fire, and I closed my eyes and became one with the forest. Even through the thick leather of my boots, I could feel the soft, moist earth, and when my heart was opened to the darkness that flowed through my veins, I felt the power of hell coursing up from the forest floor and through my entire body. Then I recited the incantation inside my head, and I didn't hold back.
Modus antiquorum.
Suddenly, the flames from each woman's wand exploded into a cloud of fire, and as the witches waved their weapons through the air, they made sure to scorch each skin-wearing motherfucker in sight. Shrill screams filled the air, but I forced my mind to spread the flames and burn each one of these imitations in view. The gnomes did their best to avoid the fire, and several even managed to escape the searing blaze. Those who were not burned glared right at me with glowing red eyes, and then they lifted their hands and sneered incantations in a dialect I'd never heard before.
Nos vas mekahebir!
A wild-eyed brunette screamed as her hand glowed a pale yellow. Our wands were suddenly yanked out of our hands and soared in different directions. There was no way we could run off and find them at this point, and at that moment, I knew we'd have to use our mind-integrated spells.
Don't worry, Cole!
Alexander's voice rang through my head.
We've got this!
Before I could respond, I watched as Alexander swept down and viciously attacked the long-haired brunette who'd shot us with that unexpected spell. He used his elongated black claws to dig into her eyes, and I watched with a bloodthirsty smile as he tore out her eyeballs and tossed them aside for the ants to devour. Meanwhile, Sylvia pounced on another male gnome with shoulder-length brown hair, and with her long, dagger-like teeth, Morgana's bear familiar grabbed him by his head and began to shake him back and forth until his head popped from his neck like a cork from a wine bottle. Penelope's panda wasted no time to copy Sylvia, and we watched as she tore into the bellies of each gnome she could get her claws into. Then Nyx's magnificent bird soared down and used his large beak to peck at each gnome's face until they were covered in dozens of bloody holes. Even Vesta's sleek silver snake started to slither up the gnomes' bodies, and she wrapped her sinuous form around their necks until their faces turned purple and their eyes popped out from their sockets. As adorable as Faye's white ferret appeared, she was still able to wreak her own havoc as she scurried toward the surviving creatures, scrambled up their frames, and began to gnaw at their faces until there wasn't much left. Akira's Komodo dragon was also just as bloodthirsty as his black-haired mistress, and he tore out chunks of our enemies and caused their entire bodies to turn a deep shade of blue as what I could only imagine was poison coursed through their veins. And finally, Vanessa's wolf was not going to be outdone, and she managed to do the most damage as she tore through the gnomes with no mercy. I grinned as Isabel ripped off limbs, dug her teeth into their throats, and drank their blood. But as the familiars tore through our enemies, I remembered what Faye said about fire. So I imagined a blazing rain falling from the skies and destroying every single gnome in sight. I willed the elements to obey my command, but before I enacted my wrath, I turned to Vanessa with a raised eyebrow. "I know there's an elder barrier placed on these woods," I said over the brewing chaos. "But do you think you can cast a small protection shield over the familiars and us? Just for a minute or two, that's all I need."
"I can try,"
the professor responded before she whistled and beckoned Isabel to come to her side.
"Tell the others to call upon their animals."
"Hey, summon your familiars and bring them here."
The women did what they were told, and Alexander wasted no time before flying to my side and perching himself on my shoulder. He still had an eyeball dangling from his mouth, and as he gulped it down, he turned to look at me with his ruby-red eyes and human-like grin.
"What's the next move, Cole?"
"You're about to find out," I replied with a deep, dark chuckle. Once everyone formed a circle, the rest of the gnomes turned to stare at us with nothing but utter contempt. And I took a deep breath as I looked up at the silver sky and pictured rainfall. Not just any rain, though. I thought of hellfire, pouring down on these creatures and burning every inch of their tainted, disgusting, skin-wearing bodies. Then, as Vanessa raised her hands and muttered under her breath, I swiftly pulled out my blade, cut into my skin, and recited the spell that destroyed cities and bent the elements to my unholy will.
"Interficiam carne mea, mutata tempestate,"
I recited, and my voice sounded like a resounding echo. Blazing fire began to fall from the sky, and the gnomes screamed as the flames scorched the earth and their flesh alike. The leaves turned to ashes as the tree trunks became nothing more than pillars of flame, and I knew Samara would be furious that I destroyed another thing she held dear. But this only prompted me to ensue further chaos. I loved the idea that I was ruining everything she held dear, and it motivated me to destroy nearly everything in my path.
"Keep going, Cole. Burn them all."
Even through the invisible barrier Vanessa had created around us, the smell of burning flesh was thick and cloying. But as we watched the remaining gnome's feeble cry for God's mercy, a smirk spread across my face. Their dying cries filled me with ecstasy, and as I grew more vicious, the rain of fire became more intense and devoured everything in its path. The frozen river began to melt as the last gnome fell to his knees and stared at me with bloodshot eyes, and I chuckled as I watched the final moments of his life slip by and wilt away.
"Well done,"
Vanessa said once everything was still. And now only ashes and the scent of smoke surrounded us.
"I hate to admit this out loud, but that was most impressive."
"Thank you," I replied, before I took a deep breath in through my nose and let it out slowly,
How are you feeling, though? I just want to make sure it didn't take too much of a toll on you.
Don't worry, I said as I placed a hand on her shoulder and flashed her a subtle wink. I'm perfectly fine. That bitch didn't get to me, not this time.
Good. But let's not push Satan's luck. Once she senses what we've done, I have no doubt she will try to send something or someone after us.
I agree, I responded as I stared down at the river, which was no longer frozen but now flowing through burnt soil and black broken leaves. Despite the ruin we rained down upon the woodland, the fish seemed to be alive and well.
I'm starving,
Marina said, and before anyone could remind her that we ate several hours ago, she reached down into the water and plucked a fat turquoise guppy from the stream. Then she pinched the fish by the tail, dangled it above her head, and let it slide into her mouth.
Delicious. Better now? Much better.
The lavender-haired Wicca nodded.
Let's go, shall we? I don't know about the rest of you, but I don't want to run into any more hybrids or gnomes.
Good point. I agreed. Let's move our asses. Now, what did the cross say? Follow the frozen river up a cluster of hills and between the changing trees? There you will find the entrance of a cave as large as the mouth of a dragon ready to devour your soul hole?
Yes, master.
Circe nodded.
That was it. Word for word.
Oh, great. So let's go, before dusk hits us. We quickly found our wands from where the gnomes had sent them, spinning off into the underbrush. But the sun was already beginning to set as we trekked up the hills and wove through the trees that were slowly shifting from vibrant yellows, oranges, and reds to deep greens. The sky darkened and slowly began to turn blackish blue, and we eventually stopped in our tracks and took a breather.
I think we should make camp here for tonight,
Vanessa suggested as she looked down the river.
I'm not sure exactly how much farther we have to travel, but it would be unwise to keep pushing onward this late.
Yeah, I agreed as Alexander flew down and perched himself on my shoulder. I think the familiars could use a rest, too.
You'd better fucking believe we do,
Alexander's voice whined inside my head.
My wings feel like they're about to fall right off.
Let's step away from the river and make camp over there, I said, as I pointed to an open space by a circle of black-barked trees. When we approached the small but bare forest floor space, Vanessa snapped her fingers, and a group of silk tents all appeared in a perfect circle. In the middle of the arranged tents was a small pyre of wood with a cold cauldron hung over it, and the sight of the pot instantly made my stomach growl.
We're going to have to hunt for something,
Vanessa sighed as she looked around the woods.
I'm not exactly comfortable with it, but perhaps if I send Isabel into the forest, she can scrounge something up. Actually,
Marina interrupted in an excited tone.
I'd be more than happy to catch some fish. The river's no longer frozen, so why the hell not?
Actually, that sounds like a perfect plan, I said with an encouraging smile. Thank you, Marina.
I'll go with her to make sure she doesn't get snatched up by anything in the dark,
Faye said before she pulled out her wand.
Illuminana.
The redhead's wand glowed with a bright orange light before the two women headed down to the river. And as they splashed, chuckled, and tried to catch a meal, the others all sat around the fire pit. Vanessa pulled out her own wand and lit the wood on fire, and without a word, Penelope stood up and began to scour the forest floor for something. Her wand was glowing when she crouched down and pressed her knees into the dirt, and I frowned as she began to dig for something. What are you looking for, Penelope? I asked with a cocked eyebrow.
Just a couple of wild seeds and perhaps a pinch of gingy twigs.
The bright-haired Wicca responded as she stood up, and her eyes darted around the small clearing.
I think I can add some ingredients to the fish to help us see better in the dark. I've only tried it once, but I think if I add fewer seeds and more twigs, I can get the balance just right this time. Unholy fuck.
Nyx gasped as she whipped her head around to face Penelope.
Did you just say gingy twigs? Hell, if you grind that shit up, I swear it can give you the quickest but most blissful high. You'll feel like you're walking on the moon and your head will feel clear and devoid of any burden. Why don't we all try some then?
Circe perked up with bright eyes.
Really?
Vanessa said in a sharp tone.
You're going to have this discussion in front of me. Oh, come on, Professor.
The snake-eyed witch said as she chewed on her bottom lip.
We're not inside the walls of Scholomance. What harm could it do to have a little fun before we enter the cave tomorrow morning?
This might be our last chance to relax and enjoy ourselves before Satan knows what happens.
To my surprise, Vanessa didn't interrupt the blonde Wicca. I fully expected her to roll her eyes, or at least shake her head in disapproval, but instead she flashed Cersei a small smile and then looked up at the star-filled sky.
Fine,
Vanessa said, without making eye contact with anyone.
But please, at least wait until I'm asleep in my tent, and do not stay up all night. As you said, Satan only knows what lies at the end of the cave, so the least we can do to prepare is get a full night of rest. Are you nervous, Professor?
Nix suddenly asked in a faint voice.
In the classroom, that would have been an inappropriate and downright rude question.
The dark-haired professor sighed, but then her pale eyes flicked over toward the red-horned witch.
However, given the circumstances, there is no point lying. To be perfectly frank, I am nervous. I have no idea what traps Samara has waiting for us. Besides, I'd be an idiot if I weren't afraid.
Fear is natural, I said, as I glanced at Vanessa with a small smile. We may be afraid, but that doesn't change the fact that we're all the way out here, trying to defeat one of the most notorious elders of all time.
Yeah, because we're fucking badasses.
Akira grinned from ear to ear.
And she's probably threatened by us.
Morgana added, as her sharp eyes stared at each of us.
Look at how far we've come. We're always one step ahead of her, and she hates us for it.
And as much as that brings me joy, can we please change the subject, at least for a little bit? I want to enjoy the evening without thinking about that bitch.
Actually, I said as a slow smile crept across my face, I fully agree.
Which is all the more reason to get a little high, am I right?
Nix asked as she wriggled her eyebrows.
Agreed,
Penelope said, with her back still turned to us.
And now that shall be possible, because guess who just found some gingy twigs?
The bright-haired witch jumped up from the floor, spun around, and did a cute little dance as she held the roots high up into the air, and it caused all the women to chuckle. Did you find the seeds as well? I asked with a broad smile.
I did indeed.
The bright-haired Wicca chuckled as she opened the palm of her hand to reveal a small pile of bright purple seeds.
So tomorrow, when we venture deep into the cave, we won't have to walk for Satan knows how long with our wands up in the air. Clever. It could take hours to reach the end of the passageway. Well done, Miss Penelope. Thank you, Professor.
Penelope said with a shy smile.
Let's just hope it works.
I'm sure it will, I reassured her. And when I heard the rustling of leaves behind me, I turned to see Marina and Faye rushing toward us with two large pairs of fish in each hand.
We have 8 in total.
Marina sighed as she swung the carcasses in her hands.
I know it's not enough, but we can share. Absolutely.
Penelope agreed as she began to add her ingredients into the cauldron while the fish hunting duo laid our uncooked meal on a flat stone.
Here, allow me.
Morgana said as she pulled out her wand.
You know, since we can use magic now, we don't need to waste time cutting them up with our own blades. Segmentum presentiae imperfectum.
A green light hit the fish, and in seconds the skin peeled away from the flesh, the bones slipped out from their bodies, and the thick white meat was quickly cut into full chunks.
Awesome,
Marina said before she gathered the fresh meat in her hands and tossed it into the cauldron.
I personally prefer my fish raw and bloody, but old habits die hard, I guess. Well, now that we have the meat, let's add the twigs and seeds,
Penelope said, but not before Nix dramatically gasped and everyone turned to look at her.
Sorry. We need to save some of the twigs, remember? For the drugs, like, hello?
Ah, right.
The orange-haired witch smiled.
Sorry, I nearly forgot.
Penelope snapped off some twigs and handed them to the red-horned witch, and as the orange-haired Wicca began to add her ingredients to the fish, Vanessa retrieved some water and poured it into the cauldron, while Beatrix picked a few herbs from the forest floor and tossed them in for flavor.
Illuminana.
Nix murmured as she aimed her wand at the ground-up twigs. I watched as they instantly turned to powder, and Nix smiled as they glittered in her hands like specks of pure gold.
Save it for later, Nix,
Vanessa warned as she quickly cooked the fish.
Or I'll toss it into the river. Yes, of course, Professor.
The blue-skinned witch replied before she carefully slipped the powder into the glass vial she kept hidden around her neck.
I promise we'll use it responsibly.
Vanessa rolled her eyes.
Whatever you say, Miss Nix.
We all ate quietly around the fire, and when everyone, including the familiars, finished their meals, Vanessa yawned and glanced at us.
Remember my advice,
she said with raised eyebrows.
You can have your fun, but for Satan's sake, please get some sleep soon. And don't be loud, or I'll be cross. Deal?
Yes, Professor. We replied in unison, as she and Isabel slipped into a tent, and all was quiet for a moment.
Okay, now that she's gone,
Nix said with a cocked eyebrow.
And since this might be our last night alive, who's ready to smoke some of the best natural shit in all the realms?